The recordings have started. You may begin.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dara. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the monthly NCSG open policy call on Tuesday, 11th of October, 2016. On the call today, we have Ed Morris, Kathy Kleiman, Tapani Teravainen, Rafik Damak, Klaus Dohr, Anna Luke, Carlos Rao Gutierrez, Amar El Sada, Fazani Badi, Stephanie Perrin, and from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Mariam. And welcome, everybody. So, without further ado, let's get down to the agenda, and let's start looking at tomorrow, at Thursday, council meeting. Agenda, okay, I see, Mariam, you already have it up, so let's go with that. The first substantive item seems to be the adoption of the proposed final framework of principles for future cross-community working groups. Would any of our councillors want to comment on this? Is there anything we need to discuss about this? Okay, apparently not, so I guess this is not something we need to spend more time on. Okay, Carlos, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is Carlos. Good morning. Thank you very much, Tapani. This has been very long in the works, and I have no direct comment to that other than using the opportunity that Rafik is also on the call, because there seems to be a very direct wish to wind down the cross-community working group on internet governance from parts of the council. So, and I think this is in the agenda for Hyderabad. So there has been a lot of pressure to discuss the internet governance cross-community working group, which dates from much earlier. And then the process of these new rules, and there has been a lot of pressure on Rafik and to report what's going on there, and there seems to be a big wish to discuss if this should be wind down. This is just a fact. I've been living through that through the whole year. This cross-community working group would develop more time on policy issues. There was a suggestion by Nigel to prepare for the World Conference on Standardization, but in the end, there has been no such movement there. So this is just a comment. And I don't want to put Rafik on the spot, but if he wants to comment, I see a relation to what's going to happen with that cross-community working group in particular.
Thank you, Carlos. Rafik, you want to comment, since Carlos suggested you might want to have something to say? Sounds like Rafik is not interested in commenting here. Okay, Rafik, go ahead.
Okay, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
We can hear you fine, please go ahead. Uh, Hello, Rafik. Now I don't hear anything. I heard you say hello, but that's it. Seems we lost Rafik. Okay, maybe he's in audio trouble or something with Rafik now. Any other comments on this? Anybody else? I'm not sure this is directly related to the CCWGIG either. See, I'm commenting on the chat, but... I guess nobody else does either, so let's leave it at that. We can return to this if somebody remembers something later on. And look at the next item is about the drafting team, which we have separately on our agenda actually later. But are we expecting more DT members to join? Ed, you mentioned that you might, so we want to push to leave this until later. Amr, please go ahead.
Oops. Hi, thanks. I see Farzi's on the call. This is Amr. We're both members of the drafting team. We're only missing Matt, I see, and Ed is in the Adobe Connect room. He's also a member of the drafting. Anyway, this was a placeholder motion that was submitted to adopt the final report of the drafting team working on operationalizing the powers for the GNSO as part of the decisional participant in the empowered community following the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN's accountability. The drafting team hasn't actually produced a final report yet, and it should do so today. Generally, I expect this motion to be deferred to the council meeting in Hyderabad. We do have the NCSG members have been working together to make sure that the operating procedures, the GNSO's operating procedures, reflect how we believe these new powers should be exercised within the GNSO. And the predominant debate going on in the drafting team was whether the council should represent the GNSO as a decisional participant in this capacity or whether it should be some other structure. It's been a lot of to and fro on the drafting team, but the majority does wish for the GNSO Council to represent the GNSO in this regard. And I think it's basically the NCSG, the NAMCOM appointees representative, who is Ed Morris, and the two contracted parties, the registry and registrar stakeholder group. It's really the three commercial stakeholder group constituencies who've been opposed to this. But anyway, this should be reflected in the report. We're struggling with a bit of the contents, although the recommendations should reflect what the majority wishes. Once the report is finalized, we should certainly be sending it out to the NCSG, even in the form of an update on the work of the drafting team member there. But you'll certainly be seeing this report again before the Hyderabad meeting. And like I said, I expect this motion to be deferred till that meeting. Thanks. We'd be happy to take any questions. And if Farzi or Ed wants to add to what I said, please go ahead.
Thank you, Amr. Ed, would you want to take on from here?
Yeah, thanks, Stefani. Excuse me. I think it's important for folks to know that we got basically everything we wanted out of this group. I consider it a major victory for the NCSG. We've been able to locate the powers within council with the current house arrangement, with participation of the NCAs. Most of the threshold levels are going to be basically simple majority of each house, which should allow us to actually exercise the community powers. Many members of the CSG wanted supermajority thresholds, which would make it very, very difficult for any of the powers to be used, since a lot of them we have to work in conjunction with the other SOACs. My particular interest has been in getting the inspection rights, so ICANN can no longer hide behind the walls of secrecy, and we've gotten that down to the constituency level. So if NPOC, our NCUC, our NCSG are a very low level of counsel, similar to the veteran issue report of a quarter of each house or a half of one house, wants some documentation, from ICANN, they will not have to work with anyone else. NPOC, for example, could just say, we want to look at X. You submit it to the chair, our representative of the empowered community, which likely will be the chair of council. It goes directly to ICANN for a response. So we've been able to get that down to the lowest possible granular level. And I understand both constituencies are currently working on charter reforms. And I see Claus and Rafiq are both here. I would suggest that in the reforms themselves, you need to work in a procedure for individual members to ask the respective ECs to implement this reform, to ask for documents under inspection so we have it all aligned going forward. This was the only portion of the, all 101, recommendations that received unanimous support from everyone. So I'm pretty sure that's going to go forward. And I guess the other thing is we did work together really well. I just want to thank the other members of the working group. We did a fair amount of time on our own Skypes coordinating, and I think that showed. Currently, this morning, I've been a bit ill, but folks have been working on the fact that the report itself that's been proposed reads like a travel log supporting the minority position. That's where we're having a little bit of trouble right now. We've won in the recommendations largely, but the chair who comes from the CSG has written the report in a way that would make it seem almost as if the minority view carried the day, and that's just wrong, and we're continuing to fight that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. It sounds pretty good indeed. Armin, your hand is still up. You want to speak?
Oh, sorry, that's an old hand.
Armin? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, it sounds like we are simply happy at the way the DT went. And whether or not that will be voted on Thursday, we'll have this. Oh, and Hyderabad. Good either way. Okay. Unless somebody else wants to comment on this item, let's move on. And now the next item in Thursday agenda is a discussion item on that ICANN board letter on new GTLD subsequent procedures. And since the presenter of that motion is Carlos, would you like to explain that a little, Carlos? Assuming your connection is working.
Yes. Thank you, Tapani. This is Carlos speaking. On the last council call, we decided to create a small group to answer the letter based on all the comments that had been submitted to date. I have to notice that there was no specific comment from this group. We tried to organize the letter from the general that nothing is going to happen before the main studies are completed, meaning the competition study, the right protection neck PDP, and the subsequent rounds PDP. And from there, there are some issues that become less and less consensus. Some comments, if the next round was already approved in the previous one or not, and some more particular issues. But the general sense of the letter is that there is no shortcut. We have to go through the biggest processes first, and then some particular comments from some individuals. And then in the annex, there will be a summary of all the relevant comments. So I recommend everybody to read or to take a look at this table of the different comments to stay up to date on where is it going, but it's going to be a general, very general letter to tell them no shortcuts. That's my summary.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. That's a useful summary. Any questions, comments, anybody else want to on that? No, apparently not, so we are satisfied with what Carlos explained. And this is just a discussion item anyway. Okay, let's move on. Next item, also discussion, the GAC GNSO consultation group on GAC early engagement in GNSO policy development processes. Anybody? Okay, Amr, happy to see your hand up again. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Tony. This is Amr. Yeah, just some background on this group. This group was set up, I think, almost 3 years ago. It was a small group of six GNSO counselors and six members of the GAC, as well as staff from both GNSO and the GAC, to sort of work out a process to encourage early engagement of the GAC as an advisory committee in the GNSO's policy development process. And this was meant to serve as, on one hand, as a means to bring the GAC into the fold with the rest of the ICANN community in participating in the GNSO's PDP, which it historically has never done, as well as provide an alternative to sort of disagreements coming up as a result of the GAC advice to the ICANN board following the conclusion of PDPs, which often take over a minimum of 1 year to complete. So a lot of work goes into these GNSO PDPs, and the GAC often has conflicting advice, which creates problems, and the board tries to mediate the discussion between the two and positions on how to reach agreements. But anyway, this consultation group was meant to sort of set up a process for the GAC to engage in early phase. And to be honest, the group hasn't been active for a terribly long time. But recently, the mailing list did start to start popping up on the list, and I believe it held a couple of calls. I'm on this group, but I confess I didn't participate in the last couple of calls that took place. And the group seems to be trying to produce a report that outlines the achievements the group has managed to make and or to achieve, and as well as sort of wrap up the work of the group. And I will admit it has made progress on the early phases of the GNSO's PDP, and specifically the issue scoping phase, where there are issues reports and opportunities for different stakeholders to comment on those and make sure that things they believe in scope of PDPs would be included. But the consultation group never got past that. It never got past that phase, and which is also important, having the GAC actually participate and provide input to PDP working groups. So that's never taken place, and I think some of the consultation group members have commented on this. But this is a discussion item on the council and an update, and I will certainly try to follow up on it and inform the NTSG of where we go, or where this group moves in the future. Be happy to answer questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. Okay, I see that Carlos, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is Carlos. Thank you, Tapani. Thank you, Amr. I've been through the last few calls. The report is relevant because it proposes to wind down the group. It's going to be dissolved. There are seven issues with six recommendations on different issues that Amr has rightly mentioned. It's very difficult to have the GAC participating. We get only individuals now from the PDPs, not GAC positions. but also some regular exchanges with the, between the leaderships should be established, regular contacts with the GAC secretariat, etc. So it's a very concise document. It's not short, but it's very concise with a set of recommendations which are very down to earth, in my view. I think Amer is right. We cannot go much further. But the final recommendation of the document is that this group disappears and the quick look mechanism stays, the liaison stays, and some more formality in the exchanges between the two groups should remain. But the proposal, the last part of the proposal is that it's over. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Any other comments on this item? No? Okay. As we all know, that the GAC is a difficult thing at times. We'll see where this goes. But let's move on. The next item is also a discussion item, ICANN board letter regarding policy implications of the final report of the Internationalized Registration Data, IRD Expert Working Group. Does anybody, particularly any of our councillors, want to speak about this? Is this something we should be concerned about? I must admit, I don't know very little of this. And maybe nobody has, yes, anymore, so. Okay, Amer, your hand is up again, please. Or is yours?
Yeah, sorry, Tapani. This is Amer. I was just looking at the chat and wasn't focused. Are we on item 8, the board letter on international administration data, expert working group? Is that
yes.
What we're discussing now? Okay,
yes.
Thanks. Okay, well this was another expert working group specific, as you can see to the in the title, to internationalize the registration data, which is basically data and who is that is not ASCII based, not in Latin characters. So there were three groups that did work in this respect. One was a group called the IRD Working Group. Another was the Expert Working Group on IRD. And third was a GNSO PDP on translation and transliteration of contact information, which concluded its work a little over a year ago, I believe, and is now in the implementation phase with ICANN staff. So basically, I think the principal concern here is that the board wants to be sure that the GNSO's PDPs are taking the expert working group's report and recommendations into consideration, and so they've asked on briefs they've asked both where the translation and transliteration PDP have taken these recommendations into consideration, and they've also asked how the next gen registration data services PDP is going to be taking this into consideration, and I know that there is work going on in the latter PDP that will address these, and staff have been working with some of the former members of the translation and transliteration PDP to develop a response, and this was circulated to the council list yesterday. It was prepared mainly by Jim Galvin, who was representing the registries on that PDP, and he was coincidentally also the chair of the expert working group on internationalized registration data, so he was a pretty handy guy to have on that PDP. And then I need to go in a bit more detail. I need to read his briefing more carefully, but I think what he did was point out that there were the recommendations of the PDP took into consideration what the other group was doing, but he also pointed out that both groups were to a large extent working in parallel, but but had been communicating on a regular basis, and this was naturally facilitated by Jim himself, who was on both groups. So again, this is a discussion item in response to a board letter, and I know that the ICANN board has been following the issue of internationalized registration data, and wants to be sure that the different GNSO PDPs are paying due attention to this topic. Again, I'd be happy to answer any questions if anyone has them. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. Does anybody have any questions? Just rather comprehensive summary. I think. Okay, so it seems Amr answered all questions in advance already, so nobody has any more. Okay. And that leaves us two more items in the agenda. First, and item 9 is the GNSO planning for ICANN 57, the Hyderabad meeting. I'm going to get back to the Hyderabad meeting in an hour, beside a later point, but if there's somebody who wants to point out something specifically regarding that in Thursday that our counselors should bring up there, we can comment on it now. Otherwise, let's get back to it later. Okay, and the final item is the results of the newcomer survey. It's a discussion item. Okay, I see it. You have your hand up. Was that a mistake?
Yeah, no, it wasn't, Tapani. It's just for the Hyderabad meeting. A lot of people are having trouble with visas. I was. If somebody out there is having trouble or gets rejected and wants a different approach, I'd ask them to just email me, and I might be able to work with them on an approach that I've taken that I just found out this morning has had some success. So that's for those who are getting rejected for visas. I know in the wider ICANN community, it's a real big problem. Hopefully not with our members. But again, if you've been rejected, just reach out to me, and there's an approach which I can suggest to you that might work. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. We'll get back to the Hyderabad meeting later if we have time. I want to discuss a bit of our scheduling problems and other stuff. But anyway, the visa issue is good to bring up, and it's something you might want to bring up and counsel as well. This has not been organized as well as it should have been. And talking about the newcomer survey, which I guess we haven't seen the results yet, or have we? So we can't really talk about it much, but if somebody has some, of course, feel free to raise your hand. Okay. So much for the council agenda. Let's have a quick look at open public comments. Okay, Amr, you have your hand up relating to whatever. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Tapani. This is Amr. I just wanted to raise one other topic before we moved off of the council agenda. Recently, there was a letter from the board to the council on discussions that the board has been having with the GAC on IGO protections. And this has prompted some disagreement on the council to the board's approach in handling this issue on GTLD policy with the GAC. And I just wanted to raise that point because Donna Austin, who is a vice chair of the council and a representative of the registered stakeholder group, has reached out to a few councillors and has asked for a private call to take place, which will happen later today. I just wanted to flag this, and this is sort of just in preparation of raising this as an agenda item, I believe, during the next council call. I'll give a briefing on that after the call takes place, and then would be happy to hear from especially other councillors on what they feel on this topic. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Amr. I see Rafik. Next in the queue, Rafik, the floor is yours.
Hello.
Are we in kind of any other business item?
Any other business regarding the council session on Thursday at this point?
Yes, maybe somehow. I saw announcement that there is, it would be not about the auction drafting team. I would like to ask the councillor if they have idea if it's open and so on, because that's, it's in, only in the council list I saw this information, and I don't recall receiving communication and information about it before. So.
Okay, thank you, Rafik. Does any councillor want to reply, respond immediately to that? So it seems that's something nobody knows anything about. Okay. But Kathy, you're next on the queue. Please move on. You speak up.
And I'm glad Amr's in the queue too, because I'm going to ask him a question and then respond. Amr, we're using acronyms and not all of them are coming through clearly. I just want to make sure that you were talking about IGO, the International Governmental Organization, the special protection that the GAC keeps asking for the acronyms, not even the names, but the acronyms of these international organizations. Is that what we're talking about?
Kathy, this is Summers. Apologies.
Okay.
I shouldn't be using acronyms on these calls too much. The IGOs are, like, I guess, the International Intergovernmental Organizations, and that's what the ICANN board and the GAC have been talking about. And my understanding is that they actually set up a small group of GAC members and board members to work on this together. And what has been sent in the letter sort of reflects the outcome of that group. Thanks.
Okay, and I haven't read that letter. I just wanted to let you know that for a number of months, probably a year, I participated in the IGO-INGO working group, although I haven't been on there for a number of months because they were moving in the right direction. If you want to know kind of the general concern, it is that the entire world uses three-letter acronyms, and if you give them to the IGOs, you take them away from everybody else. And, you know, if the rock group, the WHO, might actually really want it in a dot rock and roll instead of the World Health Organization, who believes they own those three letters, which they don't. And at least when I left the IGO-INGO working group, there was a very strong view that what the GAC had been asking for was not legal, wasn't consistent under any laws known to mankind, frankly. We had done the working group had actually commissioned a private scholar to look at some of the concerns. The IGOs were concerned about signing on or going into a UDRP, even though some of them have. The World Bank has been very successful getting its domain names through UDRP. But there seemed to be some concern about that, and then there was concern about the concern. The scholar didn't seem to share the same concerns. So the idea that they're going off, that the GAC and the board are going off to renegotiate what a working group has been doing for 2 years is disturbing. So several questions. First, is anyone else a member of the IGO-INGO working group? And should I go back to it? Would that help? And how do we respond to this letter? Thanks.
Kathy, this is Amr again. Yeah, thanks, Stefani. This is Amr again. Kathy's absolutely right on everything she said. And I wanted to note that one of the co-chairs of the PDP working group she referred to was Phil Corwin, who was also a council member. And he has been the most outspoken member of council against this letter. And I also wanted to point out that one of the reasons why this PDP working group has been going on for so long is because it's been trying relentlessly to get input from the GAC so that they could take their views into consideration when producing the recommendations. But despite multiple efforts and despite the GAC GNSO liaison Mason Cole's intervention and attempts at assistance in this regard, the GAC hasn't provided any input to the PDP at all. And so I think it's understandable that members of the GNSO community are quite unhappy with what the GAC and the board are doing behind closed doors. So thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Amr.
Thank you, Amara. I see. Next in queue is Carlos. Carlos, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Tapani. This is Carlos for the record. I agree that we have to pay special attention to this case because there are other similar cases where there are people or groups trying to bypass the policy system, and I would put everything under the hat of the reserved names as far as the PDP and the subsequent rounds is concerned, because the same is happening with the two-letter and three-letter codes, country names and full country names. The GAC makes a lot of noise. Then we have to create a group to discuss these issues. Then the GAC does not participate because they don't like the fact that those names are not based on international law, and they try to block or they create competitive groups. That's the case of the country names. Or they create these small groups outside of the mainstream, like the case of the IGOs. So it's for me, the general case is what's going to happen with all these reserved names where there is some jurisdiction or GAC issues between, call it the Red Cross or call it international multilateral organization or call it country names. So we have a systemic problem there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. I think Ed is next in the queue. Ed, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Tapani. I mean, I agree with everything that's been said before. The concept that the World Health Organization can take Pete Townshend's, it's just ridiculous. One thing I want to point out is with our new accountability reforms, we should be looking at this closely, because the way this whole GAC board relationship is working in this issue, I think arguably could be a violation of the new bylaws. And in these situations, instead of just, as Carlos is suggesting, new PDPs, et cetera, one of the options we may have is if the board decides to do what the GAC is asking, which again, we're not at that point yet, but if they go in that direction, one of our recourse at this point under the new bylaws will be to file an IRP against the board. So although we're nowhere near that stage yet, I just wanted to mention it so people have it in the back of their mind that in the new ICON, if the board chooses to ignore the time-tested PDP procedure and do things, as Carlos has said, you know, sort of behind the curtains in procedures that aren't part of the bylaws, we now do have a recourse that we should consider using. And I certainly am following this with that in mind, that if the board just sort of does what they want and what the GAC wants, we may have the ability to file an IRP in this. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Ed. I see that Amar, you want to speak up, maybe bring up a new topic or carry on this one either way. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Tapani. This is Amar again. And I had raised my hand actually before being asked to comment on this. And I had raised it to address a point that Rafiq raised a little earlier when he asked he was asking whether participation in a process to comment on the cross-community working group's draft charter for the draft charter for a cross-community working group on using the option proceeds, whether that was open to all or just councillors. So I just wanted to note that I will ask, but I also wanted to note that we have two members of the non-commercial stakeholder group who were appointed by the policy committee to that drafting team, and we haven't gotten any updates from them at all on this. So I'm speaking for myself, I'm flying a little blind and would like to hear more about what the charter drafting team has come up with. I believe Klaus was one of those two members, and I forget who the other one was, but it would be great to hear from them on this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Amr. Any comments? Anybody else want to butt in at this point? Okay, Klaus, I see your hand up. Klaus, the floor is yours.
I'm a just very simply straightforward reply. There's nothing I'm aware of that moved in that direction. That's why I have nothing to report or say on that point.
Okay, thank you, Klaus. That was short and sweet at this point. Anybody else before we move out on? This was the council agenda we are at the end, so anything related to that? No? Okay. Let's have a look at the open public comments. There are just three at the moment. No, two at the moment that's open at the moment. And neither of them. Okay, the first one at least doesn't look so critical to our interests. The proposal for Georgian script rules on label generation rules. If somebody wants to comment on that, please go ahead. The second one might be of some interest. Latin American and Caribbean DNS marketplace study. Has anybody taken a look at this study? Okay, Carlos, I was kind of hoping you would. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I do want to take so much time today, Tapani. Thank you. This is Carlos. For the record, the study was presented the end of August in the Dominican Republic as part of the mitigation plan. It was of course, hired a long time ago. And there is a follow-up meeting this week. Why the main message of the document is that the area is badly underserved, with the exceptions of Mexico, Colombia, and Brazil. And the picture they draw is an area where CCTLDs are dominant. In the case of Mexico, Colombia, and Brazil, they have 70% of the market. But in all other countries, the CCTLDs are very weak. They also talk about the lack or difficulty to have ICANN accredited registrars since the new contract came into place. And the recommendations are really, really weak or general. There is no clear path. So we can put it in the same shelf of the underserved areas without a lot of down-to-earth recommendations. It's the same, or more or less the same, with the other studies done before in the Middle East and one that is being developed right now on Africa. So I think they're spending a lot of money. There is a lot of numbers in those reports, but there is little of recommendations that can be easily applied either now or in next rounds. We are creating in ALAC, in Lacralo, a working group for commenting on that because it's very close to our hearts. But in terms of priorities for this group, I think only if somebody has a lot of time, I would recommend to go into that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. Ed, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, Tapani. I had on the list a few weeks ago when this first came up suggested we do respond to this. We have gotten some positive response from Renalia, for example. Renata. My apologies, that she wanted to be involved in this. So how can we form a group to try to do this? This is in my narrow area of expertise or interest, but I do think it's important for us, particularly since we've been having a lot of discussion on the list and how to involve those members from South America in our policy processes. How do we actually try to crank something up here in our current structure and actually try to make sure we do have input in this public comment? I think we need to do so, but I'm just not sure how we can organize it. I mean, we can just say, gee, it would be nice to respond like we're doing now, but unless we have a plan going forward, we won't get a response then. So is there some way we could put out another call? I assume Aurelia's here, have the PC say we're going to do this, who wants to be part of it, or try to get something proactive going so we don't miss this deadline.
Okay, thank you, Ed. It sounds like we met to the group, and I see Carlos volunteering to be part of the group. Carlos, would you perhaps consider forming the group? Is there how to call? Anybody else wanting to join? The way to start, get started with the group. Get up, Jim.
Thank you, Tapani. Thank you, Tapani. This is Carlos again. I can take the lead in calling the group. Nevertheless, I have to recall that there are many efforts that are related. I mean, we had for the last 2 or 3 years the discussion on special support for the application process. Then there is a loose group of underserved areas. Then there is I can throw in good money in these studies. I just want to if we call a group, we should collect all these backgrounds of the failed applicant support program, the underserved areas, maybe the auction proceeds, and then the regional studies, and put them all together. Because what I see is some tactic to every time there is a need from the underserved areas, okay, throw a little bit money, throw a new group, but there is no consistent effort. So I'll make a call based on the Latin American market study, which I understand better, but I would recommend that we take a broader look to all this area and try to bring it in.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. That sounds like a good plan to me.
Into the work track number 2 of the subsequent rounds, which is the one, in my view, that.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. Ed, is that an old hand? Do you want to speak at this point? Okay, it seems to us. Rafik, you're next. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So I think Carlos covered some points I want to emphasize, but regarding those reports, it's important to understand the context. There was some effort within ICANN to have a regional strategy, and it started with the African working group, and then the Middle East and the German countries, and now the Latin America and so on. And it was kind of individuals from the community from those region working on strategy, and DNS industry was one of the main topics. And that's why you have those studies. The first, I think, was for the MENA region, and we can discuss about the methods and so on, but I think that usually the results are quite interesting because they raise a lot of questions regarding the reality and the state in those regions for DNS industry and beyond. So I would encourage that we try to have regional group of individuals are working on those topics, and as Carlos highlighted, that should be linked to existing efforts like, for example, the whole work about the underserved region, which go beyond registry and cover having more registrar in developing countries. For example, also the discussion, it will be in table again in the new GTID subsequent rounds working group regarding the applicant support. NCHG was leading in that topic a few years ago, and we have to continue the work then and to see how we can do better. So there are many areas. It's better to, I guess, having some interest group regional basis, and they can coordinate together to work about all those problems and really to focus in the local realities. For example, from MENA, there was a lot of question. People pushed a lot about having
TLD in Arabic script, but it doesn't sound or seem that getting a lot of traction there. So it's better to have some discussion at that level. And if the Latin American Caribbean members can work, they can show us the lead here.
Okay, thank you, Rafik. Any other comments on this point? Okay, it sounds we'll be moving forward, waiting for Carlos to get that group started. Okay, let's move on with our agenda. The next item we had was this GNSO bylaws drafting team report, which we already discussed. Because it's on the council agenda as well. Is there anything else we need to add to that? I guess not. We covered it already. Then we have a concern about the IAG report and who is conflicts with local law. I hope, Stephanie, are you on the phone or otherwise able to speak?
Hi, Tapani. It's Stephanie calling. Unfortunately, I've lost connectivity to the screen, so I can't see what's going on. So I don't know whether you're hearing me. Are you hearing me?
Yes, we are hearing you. There is an echo, though, but... tolerable, even if a bit annoying. Otherwise,
yes, I've got a big black screen there, so I'm not quite sure how to turn my sound off. So I've moved into another room. Is it better here?
Yes, the echo went away.
Okay, good.
So please go ahead and tell about the police conflicts in IAG.
Well, there's not much to say. Basically, I tabled a motion at the last council meeting. There was not much support, practically nothing. The registrars don't want a new PDP. I guess nobody wants a new PDP. Volker has suggested that what we need is another IAG properly constituted to try to come up with something that will work. I mean, I was a member of the IAG. We argued for, I don't know, it felt like years, but I think it was only about a year to get the report that we did. The group was scoped only to see if we could come up with a mechanism. Any other implementation group will be scoped only to come up with a mechanism. And the problem is that the policy is very narrow in terms of what you can do. So I don't quite understand, and he hasn't provided any explanation. I don't quite understand what he has in mind in terms of a differently scoped implementation advisory group. So I have put questions out with our register pals. I haven't heard anything. Perhaps they're talking to someone else. The what was supposed to happen between now and Hyderabad is that we would form a small group and try and draft something for a new motion. However, apart from hearing that Donna Austin wants to join that group, and that Mary will assist us, that's all I've heard.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie. That sounds a bit bad group if two people joining and nothing else happening. But I see, Kathy, you have your hand up. Kathy, please,
Stephanie, other than forming a PDP, this is Kathy, what else would you, what would you like to do? Is there any part of the working group report that could be embraced to go forward? I mean, there's so many, you know, we've talked about this among ourselves. I'll share it with everyone else. There's so many things going on with WHOIS. It's insane. But I know that on the thick WHOIS, they've stopped work on implementation because of questions about the privacy shield. Obviously, the RDS is doing its work. Is there any way to use a resolution to kind of delay implementation of this working group's report or whatever it is that doesn't make sense in it and kind of cue this up for policy development maybe after some of the current work on who is and privacy takes place? Kind of a broad question, but, you know, can we keep something
up later? Well, unfortunately, that leaves the registrars are really the key people, registrars and registries, because they have no mechanism that works, right? And so they're basically stuck breaking the law at the moment. We need the policy revised, in my view. I mean, the policy basically says break the law until you can persuade ICANN Legal that you're going to be in trouble. And ICANN Legal can't be persuaded. So, I mean, really, it's kind of a logical fallacy here. I mean, how on earth could we come up with something? So, really, I think it's up to the registrars to say, okay, we're not going to do any of our obligations in the contract until we revise the privacy policy, or strike a PDP to revise the policy.
Hmm.
I mean, I wish we were getting better cooperation with the registrars in terms of how to resolve this problem, but we're not. At least I'm not.
Thank you for the background.
The other thing about the sick who is, and I've been hearing rumblings from some of the registrars that they would just like to rush to implement sick who is, and then the problem belongs to VeriSign. I don't quite understand how they come up with that logic, because they're still the ones collecting it, and they're still the ones disclosing it. It's still a valid complaint in the EU system. The fact that VeriSign then is the actual mechanism through the thick who is irrelevant, because the interface between the individual and the whole ICANN DNS implementation of the ecosystem is through the registrar, right?
Right, right.
So,
and they're the ones transferring
yes,
the data to the United States out of the EU. That's a data flow issue.
Exactly, and they're the ones doing it. So, you know, I talked to one of them who thought this was VeriSign's problem, and I said, well, I don't know how the hell you think that. And, you know, I'm going to see if I can get some input on that particular problem from the International Working Group on Data Protection and Telecommunications, but, you know, don't hold your breath. That takes a while, you know?
Well, my sense was that people were happy to see your motion at the last council meeting, and that there is some support for doing something. I wonder if it's not our job to lead, but I'm not sure what to do. That said, I have no idea what to do. So,
well, the problem,
but I volunteered
the problem,
to assist.
I don't mind taking the leadership on the privacy aspects of this, but the actual logistics of how the registrars do their business, I really think I'm reluctant to play that role, you know. First of all, I don't know enough about it, even though I can superficially look from the outside. I'm not a registrar, you know?
Right.
And it's their contract that they're breaking, so really it's up to them to join arms with us, you know? As far as I'm concerned, they're getting pre-privacy advice here. Come on, help.
Okay, great. Thanks, Stephanie.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie. Kathy? You still have your hand up. You want to carry on? Okay. Amr, you're next. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Amr. Yeah, I just wanted to add a little more context to what some of the contracted parties have been saying over the past few months while working with GDD staff. GDD is the Global Domains Division, and they are responsible for sort of implementing consensus policies that are developed through the GNSO's processes and adopted by the ICANN board. And they also, I believe, manage sort of the ongoing relationship between ICANN and contracted parties. So I've been involved with the implementation review teams for both translation and transliteration of contact information, as well as TIC Whois. What I'm seeing, because there actually have been a few attempts by GDD staff to do this as efficiently as possible, and they do receive instructions from the ICANN board to implement policies that the board adopts, making them ICANN policies. But I think what we've been seeing from contracted parties repetitively over the past few months is a resistance to implement these policies. And I think their concern is one of the cost and effort to do this, especially that they are aware that following the mega PDP of the next generation on registration directory services, that a significant overhaul of the whole system is going to become necessary, and this is likely to begin within the next couple of years. And so right now they are, it seems to me that they're hesitant and would prefer not to implement or make any significantly large implementations of with other policies until the next-gen RDS PDP is complete, and they've been pushing back on this. So for example, there was a proposal from GDT staff to merge the implementation of translation, transliteration, and TheQuiz only in a tightly scoped portion of both PDP's work concerning consistency and labeling and display of contact data. And this consensus policy across both PDPs was relevant to both PDPs, and GDT staff was, from an efficiencies perspective, was trying to work out a way where they would be implemented together. But again, contracted parties objected to this, and it really seemed like they just didn't want to do too much of an overhaul in their current systems until they know what system they're going to end up with, because they don't want to do the same work twice. I'm just trying to add some context to this, and I wonder to what extent that same thinking plugs in with the IAG's work, but I don't think that the IAG's recommendations and implementations actually require contracted parties to do anything internally. It's just a process for them to use with ICANN to get waivers on some of the risk policies. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. That was a useful bit of background, especially for newcomers and maybe some of us old-timers as well. Anybody else want to comment on the WHOIS thing? Okay. If not, let's move on. Let's have the next on the agenda is the RPN Working Group Progress. Kathy, would you like to bring us up to date on that?
Sure, thanks. The Rights Protection Mechanism PDP Working Group is just wrapping up the post-delegation dispute policy, which is the procedure for yanking new GTLDs, new top-level domains, and we're moving on to the next section, which is the Trademark Clearinghouse. So we had some overview presentations, and if anyone's interested, I can point you to the slides, or any other member can point you to the slides on the wiki, where we spent 3 weeks going through the Trademark Clearinghouse, the sunrise period, and the trademark claims. And now we're going into the Trademark Clearinghouse. For non-commercial questions, there's a lot, and the big one is, and Rob and Wendy Constantinos and I, when we were on the SCI, were very concerned about this. The biggest problem is that the analysis group found that 93.7% of people who encounter a trademark claims notice, which means they're going in the first 90 days of general availability of a new GTLD, they're trying to register a domain name, and they get a notice that says someone out there has a trademark, and in fact, the notice says more than that, because we didn't want it just to say that. It says, here's the trademark, here's the country, here's the category of goods and services. And then you decide whether you want to go forward or not. And what we were hoping, frankly, was that they would see, okay, it's a trademark for inline skates, and you're using it for a non-commercial organization. You should be able to say, okay, I agree. I understand they're out there, but I'm using it for a different purpose. I want to register anyway. Turns out that 94% of the people are not doing that. There's a massive chilling effect of these trademark claims notices. So, and all sorts of other problems as well in the Trademark Clearinghouse. So if you want to join the fun, come join the working group, and we're creating subgroups, so we actually need lots of people out there. And it's really important stuff, but we're going to be doing it for a long time, but we're in the new section, and it's hard. So thanks. Happy to answer any questions people have.
Okay, Kathy, any questions? Anybody want to announce that they are going to volunteer one to some of these working groups? Please consider. And so, otherwise, Kathy, thank you for the summary. Okay, Ed, you want to pick up? Ed, please go ahead.
Yeah, first, I want to thank Kathy for her leadership role in the RPM. I mean, there are times we go into the RPM calls, there are 50 people, there are three of us fighting the IPC and the intellectual property interests. Without Kathy's leadership, we'd be sunk, and she's done a fantastic job in making sure that we're heard there. And I just wanted to thank her. And when she brings up the 93.7% non-proceed figure, to those of us who live in the reality-based world, that would indicate a problem. To show you how tilted things are, our conversation has largely been about whether that there's no data showing it's a problem, that for some strange reason, the 93.7%, we're all cyber squatters. The explanations, the fight back about even investigating that number is absolutely amazing. So if anybody out there has any interest in the RPM, in rights protection, this is a great time to get involved. This is going to last for a few years, and we really do need your help. But again, I just wanted to thank Kathy for her leadership, because without her as one of the tri-chairs, we'd be sunk. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed. So please, people, do consider joining this. Anybody else? Okay, I see people are typing, but I see no hands up other than Ed. I presume that's an old hand. So let's move on. We have one more, or two more items, but the next one concerns about private rules being misrepresented in ICANN's multi-stakeholder model, and that was Kathy again. Could you please bring us up on what exactly this was about?
Sure, and apologies to Farzi. She was asking in the chat room about this earlier, but I was driving my daughter to school, so I couldn't answer, although I was listening to the meeting. So one of us should fill her in on this. Okay, so this is what I raised in the NCSG on the listserv. My concerns about Helsinki, but they've grown, so I'm going to kind of give you the full view, which is that we're seeing private rules of registries being created. And what concerned me initially was hearing Mason Cole use his seat as the GAC-GNSO liaison to present the private rules of a private trade association called the Domain Name Association, the DNA. And he presented it to the GAC. And even though he used a few special words in Helsinki that kind of implied that it was private rules, that's not how he presented it, and that's not the form and the space. He was in front of the GAC as the GNSO liaison. So it came out sounding like a multi-stakeholder process, that this group, DNA, is creating best practices for registries, but it's private. They're doing it privately, and they're doing it without us. They're doing it without non-commercial representation. Why is this bad? Because they're coming up with really horrible private rules. Donuts has signed a deal with the Motion Picture Association for rapid takedown of content based on the idea that the Motion Picture Association is, quote-unquote, a trusted notifier. What there's someone at Public Knowledge, a professor, Anne Marie Britti, who's looked at this closely and contacted me, and she's furious. She can't understand how certain things that within the context of the United States law and the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, there are some balances, there are some protections. A trusted notifier can be challenged and removed. There's none of those protections in this donuts thing. If Motion Picture Association makes the accusation, chances are that content's going down. We're not just talking about links the way we do in traditional copyright, where you take down the link. They're taking down the whole domain name. That's multiple web pages. It's listservs. It's email. That's yanking something out by the roots. That we've always protested yanking a domain name out by the roots because of all the speech and free expression that comes down with it. And yet this is all being negotiated privately. We're also about to see the Trademark Clearinghouse just publicize that Donuts has created its own blocking rules. We know about the Donuts a private protected marks list where they use the Trademark Clearinghouse to block. They charge trademark owners more and they block
they've one string in all 200 of their top-level domains, but they've just come up with a new and improved version of this, also negotiated privately behind closed doors without our participation, and yet ICANN is publicizing it for them. So I'm not sure the bounds of this, but this is huge. This is an enormous problem. And so I wanted to present it. There seemed to be some interest on the list. I wanted to see what we do from here. But my guess is we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. But I don't think private rules should be. I think we should discount. We have a multi-stakeholder process. Let's use it. This is a horrible way to do things, these shadow agreements. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Comments on this? Ed, your hand is still up, or is it an old hand?
No, new hand, Tabani.
Okay, go ahead then.
Okay, this is serious. We're at the embryonic stages right now in terms of what Donuts is doing, and if they don't get blowback now, we'll see other groups copying it. And in the end, I'm not sure how much impact our bottom-up multi-stakeholder policy development process is going to have if all of these private agreements are used to subvert what we're trying to do here. So I guess what I would suggest in terms of what we've done in the past here in the NCSG, I don't know how others would feel about this, is why don't we put together a small group, assuming Kathy would be willing to be part of it, because she has expertise, at least none of the rest of us. I'd be happy to be a part of it. Let's try to craft some sort of resolution, trying to shine light on this problem that the PC would be able to pass, and then use the resolution as a way of shining light on this in India. I think that, in some ways, is the best way forward for us at this point, is to just try to publicize what's going on, because I don't think a lot of people know about it. So I guess Kathy had said, what can we do about this? My suggestion would be, let's try to put together a resolution stating what's happening, stating our opposition, and then trying to get some publicity for it in hybrid debt. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed. It's, forming a little group on this sounds like an excellent idea. Kathy, are you volunteering to call such a group?
Absolutely. I'd love to work with a few people. I think Ed's idea of a resolution, I remember we did that in the old days. We'd create resolutions on our views on the UDRP and other things. That might be a really good way to put it before the stakeholder group, and then if the stakeholder group agrees, to put it before ICANN. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, I see Anna Loop, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. I know Donuts has a history of doing things like this. I go back to the .wine issue of sort of behind closed doors agreements. So I'd be really excited to join any group, Kathy. So thanks for bringing this up, guys.
Oh, terrific. Thank you, Anna.
Hey, thank you, Anna. That sounds very good. Amr, you have your hand up.
Thanks, Stefani. This is Amr. I was just going to make a suggestion on this, and I think I hinted was that in the chat. Why don't we, as the non-commercial stakeholder group, first approach the registry stakeholder group and ask for some clarification or their position on this? And based on how that goes, we can start escalating the issue, first perhaps to the council and then beyond. But I think it might be helpful if we try to first approach the registry's stakeholder group.
Amr, it's Kathy. Why are you using a process that they're not using? Donuts did not ask the registry stakeholder group whether they could make a deal, a private deal on content takedown with the registries. They didn't. It's nothing that's ever hit the multi-stakeholder model. They're using their private group, the Domain Name Association. They're organizing meetings with ICANN through it, and they're misrepresenting it. They're really, really trying very hard to misrepresent it as multi-stakeholder stuff. I'm not sure, you know, this isn't VeriSign. This isn't Public Interest Registry. This is a few new portfolio applicant players. I think we'll lose time, actually, if we go through the registry stakeholder group, because they never use the registry stakeholder group.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Well, to answer your question, why For one thing, I think it would be helpful to try to see eye to eye with them first on, in terms of using process to get these sort of things done. And I don't expect us to succeed in doing that, but I think it would be helpful because whatever response we get from them would help us prepare internally when we want to escalate this process to the GNSO level, for example, in council. So instead of going straight to council with this, I think it would be worthwhile to try to hear them out, see what they have to say, and take that into consideration before we escalate the process. For this, it's just a matter of taking a stepwise approach to being as fully informed as possible on what the hell is going on. Thanks.
Thank you, Amaret. Just my point to suggest if you start the working group, we at least just notify the registries, which shows that we are doing this, and if you want to have some input before we move forward, we're welcome to it, but not wait for it because it might slow us down. Anyway, Kathy, your hand is still up.
Until we have a position and a set of questions for the registries, I wouldn't approach them. I think it's premature. They know what's going on. They see the announcements. They don't regulate each other. They can't. That would be an antitrust issue. It's our job to flag this. I agree, before we go to the GNSO Council, of course, I think it's a great idea to go to the registries. But right now, there's something that's going on completely outside the ICANN process by a few players, and somebody's got to flag it. So I guess I'm agreeing with Amar, but I wouldn't go now. I'd go after we put together our ideas and concerns so that there's something kind of coherent that we've agreed on that we can take to them. That's what I'd recommend.
Sounds like a good plan. In any case, just form that little group to work on this, and there you can. I might even join if I find the time, and then we can work on at what point to approach the registration registrars. Okay. So we're leaving up to call up, group up. Anything else on this subject? Okay, seems we are at good enough so far, and I'm hoping for that group to get things done. Okay, the final item I have on the agenda is the Hyderabad preparations. But first, I want to note that there are a couple of things that organizing that have not been well organized, so to speak. The visa issue has already been mentioned, that we are missing some people because they couldn't get visas. Another thing is that the schedule is still a mess. We still don't know exactly what's going to happen and when. It seems we will not have a constituency day in one day as we used to. Instead, we will have two half days. And high interest topics, like seven of them maybe, that will be conflicting with whatever else. Okay, Rafik seems to be concurring with that. We're working with Rafik and Klaus trying to sort this schedule out so that we can somehow fit everything we want to do without overlapping too much. I'm not sure if there is much we need to discuss here, but if you have any concerns, okay. Kathy, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, quick question to Pani. Do we know when those two half-day sessions are currently scheduled for? Is there anything? Have people seen a schedule? Because I haven't. Thanks.
Well, people don't have a schedule because there isn't one, but they're pretty Sunday and Monday, if I'm remembering correctly. Rafik? I think I have it. Sort of plan somewhere, but
hello. Yes, this is Rafik. Yes, we don't have a schedule yet. It's quite a mess because for this meeting we don't have a full constituency day, and it's split between 2 days, and this creates really a lot of headaches for us to fit NCSG and CUC and NPOC session within the 2 days, and including also the meeting with the board. On the other hand, for this meeting C or the AGM, we have several high interest topic session. So things are still moving on, and we don't have a clear idea when our own session are scheduled. So probably we'll get some updates in coming days, but still we have to work out on the planning. So bear with us for the coming days. It's with my own experience, it's the really first time to have such difficulties in 3 years. So we'll see how we will end up for Hyderabad.
Yeah, thank you, Rafiq. It's indeed because it's a new meeting. ABC meeting system seems to be making things much more difficult than they used to be. Well, maybe it's just growing pains, so. Well, let's hope it will get easier later. But anyway, at the moment, it's still a major pain to sort things out. Okay, your hand is up. You want to speak? Or is it an old hand? Yes, we have seen several scheduled versions that seem to be old, but the time will get out. Okay, I think, Kathy, that must be an old hand because you're not speaking up. Anybody else want to comment on this? Okay, just note that we still don't know much and we'll try to keep you posted as soon as we get things under control. Okay, that was the last item on my agenda. Anybody else? Any other business related to, well, anything NCSG is up to? Ed, please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Stefania. I hate to spring this on people at the end, but within the past week, James Waddell was just nominated for another term as the council chair. And I certainly would support James. I just want to know whether we should be taking some sort of formal action on the PC or individual councillors ourselves to suggest whether we will support him or whether we want the non-commercial parties house to nominate a candidate to oppose him. Last year was obviously a bit of a disaster, so I just wanted to get us at least starting to talk about it and get up in front of this.
That's a good question, Ed. Do anybody who thinks we should try to find opposing candidate to run against James Bledel or related?
I actually would propose that we don't do that, Tipani, and that to get this thing done so we can move on, whether my fellow councillors or whether the PC should actually state that we're pleased with James and we want him to continue as chair and we don't want to support any candidate to oppose him. We also need to, I know David last call said he was going to get the work in this. We need to figure out what we're going to do with the vice chair for next year as well. This stuff is coming up real soon, so I think we need to talk about it and get a unified position.
Thank you, Ed. Yes, it seems that we have pretty much in consensus about supporting James for the second term. As for the vice chair issue, I understand there is also a fair consensus that we could support Heather for second term, but with some kind of understanding with the CSG that it should roughly alternate between CSG and NCSG, but not formally tied to any explicit rule that they get to nominate whoever they want and we have to live with that or vice versa. So the process would be something along the lines that the vice chair usually would serve the second term unless objected to strongly on that point. And then if not, the same stakeholder group would nominate a candidate for the second upcoming term. But that would be presumptively just for 1 year. And after that, and of course that again would be subject to review and approval by the other SG, and after 2 years on one SG, then would be at least offered. The first chance would be to the non-incumbent SG, so to speak, that, you know, if Heather takes this one, then after that, the first nomination opportunity to come to us. And again, the others would have a chance to oppose, and so that kind of process would be appropriate. I guess that's the kind of process we would like. I think we discussed this last time. Anything else? Anybody want to comment on this or any other business? See, people are typing. Nobody has their hand up. Okay. So, I guess we're done.
Stefani, can I jump in?
Yes. Please go ahead.
It's Stephanie Perrin calling, and I'll try and kill my sound here. I've asked Mariam to note that the call quality is really bad for some of us. I'd like to know how many people are having difficulties with the new Adobe interface, and I'd certainly like a solution if somebody can come up with it. I'm going to have to listen to the call again because the call disconnects so frequently that I've only heard about, well, I guess I've heard three quarters of it. So I'm really sorry because I wanted to participate in this call. There's a number of very important policy issues that we need to prepare for Hyderabad, and unfortunately I missed most of the discussion on some of the important ones. So please, can someone convey to ICANN that we need this problem fixed before Hyderabad, and they're not moving too quick on it. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'll certainly take that in, but it would be very useful indeed if everybody who had trouble would let us know, say, and me or Mariam email or write in the chat or whatever. For some strange reason, it seems to be working quite well for me. Ed, you have your hand up.
Funny. Carlos,
tell us
here.
What your configuration is, because I'd go out and buy a new Acer if it was my Mac. If it's, like, I don't know what it is. You know, this is a nightmare. And I think it's a nightmare for Carlos, and he's off the call now. So,
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Stephanie, are you having trouble? Are you going in the phone bridge as well, or just trying to do
yes.
it on Adobe?
Yeah. You're hearing me over the phone bridge, but it's important to, like, it goes in and out every couple of minutes. And
so it's not just Adobe, it's the phone as well, because they haven't changed.
No, the phone's fine. The phone's fine, but
oh,
I mean, it's
okay,
not a great way to run a call when you're trying to follow the text on the screen and read the chat. It means that you have to
I've been knocked out twice on Adobe this call. It's because ever since they switched to the participate ICANN org, it's been a bit of a nightmare. The phone bridge has worked fine for me recently, though. But I agree. It's a problem not just here. It's a problem in the working groups I'm in. I can't recall the last call that I've actually been able to stay in Adobe for the entire call. So add my name to the chorus of folks that are having trouble.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. So Mariam tried to collect all the names of the people who complained so we can get at least a count so we know how many people, but it seems like rough count, like half of the participants or so have complained somewhat, so it's just pretty bad. I'm just lucky. Any other comments? Any other business? Okay. Let's close this call. Thank you, everybody, for being present, and counselors have a good meeting on Thursday. And close the recording, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. GR, you may now stop the recording. Thank you very much.